Go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to God.
Your prayer. Father God, thank you for your love to us. Thank you for the adventure of prayer that you invite us into. And we pray that you'd find us faithful and help us to learn more about it and to do it better day by day. Teach us and lead us in this by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, here we have a fabulous couple of passages. There's Paul in Ephesians telling us, pray. Keep on praying. Pray all the time. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in all kinds of different ways. Pray, pray, pray. It's a good theme of Paul's and other writers in the Bible. Actually, prayer is very important. And Jesus' disciples kind of recognised that prayer was quite important as well. The reading we had in Matthew tells us the Lord's Prayer there, but if you look in the account in Luke, what we find is that it is a response to a question that the disciples ask. Because the disciples, they were kind of aware that they'd been called. These are the apostles, you know, the ones who are sent. That's what the apostle means. They were going to be sent. And they were aware that they were being prepared for a task. And it seemed quite daunting. It was quite a big deal. There was something they were going to have to do in the world to make it better in some kind of way. And they observed Jesus praying. And they thought to themselves, we need to learn how to pray like that. And we kind of don't pray like we see him praying. But if we're going to do what we feel like we're being called to do here, we're going to have to learn to pray. So they came to Jesus, inspired by what they'd seen, and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And then he says, okay, this is what you do. Go into your room, close the door. Say this, our Father, and so on and so on. And he gave them a pattern and a prayer and a way of praying, a great sort of skeleton for prayers, if you like. In our own personal prayer times, we can use it to hang all of our prayers on. We recite it in church services quite frequently. But this is a great prayer and deserves some good reflection. And in many ways, it is a missionary prayer. It's a prayer for those who have got a job to do in the world. It's a prayer for those who are called to be sent out to go and to do something to make the world a better place. And if we can kind of understand it in that context, it's not just a prayer for us to recite when we come together in our own little corner. It's a prayer that compels us to go out. It's a prayer of movement and mission. And so here the disciples are inspired, and, well, the first thing Jesus says actually is, don't be like this. Don't babble like these other ones. You just have endless words repeated and so on. There's this different kind of way of praying. Get on your own, in your prayer room, close the door, and your Father who sees in secret rewards openly. So there's something about getting away so it's just you. In that sense, you know, all the other props, all the other things, everything else in your life, let it go. This is just you and God. And it starts, Our Father. There's something deeply intimate about the relationship. And the difference between the way the other pagans babble in their prayers and the way that we as Christians pray seems to be this, the quality of the relationship. It really matters. And Jesus talks a lot about praying here. He goes on to talk a lot about not worrying. Don't worry about this, don't worry about that, don't worry about that. What you need to do is pray, don't worry, pray, don't worry. Years ago, I memorized Matthew 6, 7 and 8, 7 on the Mount, no, 5, 6 and 7, sorry, 7 on the Mount, those three chapters. I could recite it. I couldn't do it now for toffee. It's a shame, isn't it? Things slip out of your mind. But I used to be able to. But the exercise taught me something. I really realized when I did that, that how big a deal this was in Jesus' mind. How much space he chooses to spend telling us, actually pray, make this a priority in your life. And by the way, don't worry. Don't worry, do pray. Those are two, seems to me, really important things if we're to succeed at being human. And Jesus went to great lengths to underline this for us. So this business of not worrying about the future, but bringing it all to God, keeping that conversational intimacy with our Father in heaven. It's something that's possible, it's something that's good, it's something that inspires confidence, it's something that exterminates worry, and it's something that is a great adventure, just keeping in that life flow of God. It's not about the religious babble of repetition and so on. This is about a real relationship. And just tell you something about the way the universe works. At the heart of the universe is this relationship. Between the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. It's the heartbeat of the universe. And prayer is discovering the heartbeat of the universe. The God who is there, who always was there, who always will be there, who is good, and who is in relationship eternally within the three persons of the Godhead. It's a mystery, but it's something special. And prayer invites us into that life flow and that relationship with God. Prayer is not about asking for stuff. I was once told that prayer was about asking for stuff. Perhaps I didn't understand my Sunday school teacher. I was quite young at the time. I was probably about 6. But I went to Sunday school, and I think he must have been talking from John 14, where it says, ask anything in my name and I'll give it you. And he sort of said, God is really powerful, and if we pray, you know, the sky's the limit. Anything can happen. Anything. God can do anything. And I went away thinking, okay, well, I'm not sure if he's exactly said that, but that's what I understood him saying. I thought, brilliant. This is really exciting. I know what I'm going to do. So I went home. I think it was probably just at the time when that first space rocket had taken off, you know, and launched, and we'd watched it on the little television in the school classroom together. So I was all quite excited about all things spacey. So I went to bed. I knelt at my bed earnestly, 6-year-old Adrian, and I said, dear God, please let there be a space rocket in my front garden tomorrow morning when I wake up so I can fly to the moon. And I thought it was worth a try, you know. This is what my Sunday school teacher said. Let's see what happens. I thought maybe, just maybe, he's right. And I woke up the next morning, opened my curtain in a flurry of excitement and looked out, and there was no space rocket. And I thought, that Sunday school teacher, I'm going to have words with him. And the next week I said, it didn't work. I did what you said. You said God can do anything. Well, he can't. He can't give me a space rocket in the front garden so I can go to the moon. And I think he must have said something about, you know, it doesn't really work quite like that and so on. But I had this very simple understanding. I mean, it's not a made-up story, by the way. That is totally true. I remember the disappointment to this day of not having that space rocket. Maybe one day. Toby's talking about wanting to fly to the moon now. But anyway. Do you know what? Even as adults, sometimes we can approach prayer in that kind of way. God, there's something that I really want. Will you give it to me? It's not what it is. Prayer is about getting into the life flow, the relationship of the triune God and dwelling in him. And as we dwell in him, we find our desires change. We find ourselves transformed. We find the love of God, which surpasses understanding. And we get a glimpse of it. This love so deep, so wonderful in this relationship. And prayer is just slipping into this stream of love, sailing by this wind of the one true Spirit of God, knowing God and his Son, Jesus Christ, praying in the Spirit. It's a wonderful thing. I'm not saying it's an easy thing. It can be really hard, like, you know, as we had in that little activity Sarah led us in, the distractions that come to us that sap our time and our energy in all sorts of ways from outside can put pressure on and make it difficult. Sometimes, actually, it's not the external stuff. Sometimes it's the internal stuff. You know, we've got the time. Actually, we could organise ourselves to make some time to pray. But inside, we sort of feel like, yeah, but there's something not quite right between me and God. That can happen in all sorts of relationships. Sometimes it can happen in very close relationships. For years and years, we can feel like, you know, there's something just not quite connecting here. And so, you know, we don't like that, so we avoid it. It damages the relationship. Sometimes we can feel like there's something not quite right between us and God, so I'm not going to, you know, go, I'm going to avoid the prayer because I don't want to really face that. I don't really want to deal with that. So we just kind of get used to the elephant in the room and we miss that conversation of intimacy with God that's possible. And there's other things that hinder us as well. We can be suspicious about the nature of God. We don't trust him. Maybe we feel he's distant or impotent or can't really come through for us. And do you know what? Sometimes our theology can be all wrapped up and we can understand it right. But in our emotional life, there's something that gets in the way. And often, this is Father's Day, often it comes down to some of the experiences we've had humanly in our relationship. And dads have power to make or break in many ways. And very often, this is the way. We know it from research. I know it from pastoral ministry. Parents have a lot of power to impact our emotional lives. The things that our dads might have done, said to us, that wound us. And the wounds carry a message, and sometimes we agree with that message and we live under it for a long time. And it can get in the way of accessing this life and love of God in prayer. Because do we really trust that God is there, that God is able, that he's for us, that our Father is good? You know, some people struggle with God as Father because their Father has been so good. You think, well, how could anyone compare with my dad? You know, I don't want another Father. I've got one. He's really good. Thank you very much. And so I've encountered this, not often, but sometimes. People almost resent this language of God as Father because they don't like the thought that God could replace their dad. Other people, perhaps more commonly, have had a worse experience of their dads where they think, actually, you know, any talk of God as Father, I don't like that because it reminds me of the experience I've had of my earthly father, which hasn't been so good. So it can be a bit of an obstacle, a stumbling block. But it's a good day, this Father's Day, to remember the truth is our Father is a good Father. He does all the things a good father should do. He is actually the best Father, I'm not. And our Father in heaven, he provides for us, he protects us, he teaches us, he cares for us, he guides us, disciplines us in love, all of it in love. He does the things a good dad should do. But sometimes these wounds in our hearts that we carry from the past can get in the way. So we believe that maybe we're not worth it or we don't have what it takes because it's something we've been told. Maybe there's some wound that's happened and there's a message that goes with it. I mean, I can think back in my childhood, I don't want to tell you too much here, but just, you know, these things are real. Again and again, when I was growing up, my dad would call me clumsy. I think maybe because I was growing quite quickly and I knocked over so many things, I still do occasionally. But it was actually a real wound. It's something that really got me emotionally. This is my identity. I'm the clumsy one. And the message that came across with that, which I didn't quite understand or articulate well until even just recently. But the message underneath that was, Adrian, you get in the way and you mess things up. Okay? And that sort of, that message is powerful. And it's a message that stays with you. And even now, sometimes, I think I've got a funeral and I've got a wake to go to, and there's something in me that says, hang on, Adrian, don't go there too quickly, you'll just get in the way. And I have to say, no, I'm not. That's not who I am. I'm going to go there. I'm not going to be in the way. I'm going to do some good there. And you go along and you have some significant conversations and you think, oh, I can see. This is just the enemy trying to twist that knife. But these wounds from the past, as I, you know, it often is mums and dads, I'm afraid. And it's not that mums and dads are evil. It's that mums and dads are just in that position. And they can do a lot of good, but they can also do some harm. And these messages, if we can understand where they are, what the message of the wound is, and then say, okay, I'm not going to agree with that. I'm going to disagree with that. That's not who I am. That's not right. We can begin to discover a healing which unlocks a connection with God as Father, as our Father, in a whole new way, and enables us to really pray. And do you know what? This missionary prayer, I'm just going to skip through it now. Look, our Father in heaven. It's a great relationship, but look at who our Father is. He's the one in heaven. His name is hallowed, holy, set apart, different, other. It's beyond. It's the name above all names. The Father that we are come into contact with like this, we're in relationship with in prayer, is a Father whose name is powerful. He has authority to change things. And so we can pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What I love is, it's not this. He doesn't say, your kingdom come in this little corner where we can retreat to. Your kingdom come in the church so that we can have a safe space and forget all that other stuff that's going on out there. No, he says, your kingdom come on earth. It's bringing a bit of heaven, a bit of what will be when God is reigning in full and completion, into the present, into the here and now. And we've got something to say about that. You know, this prayer calls us, compels us to be people who are concerned about changing the world, about engaging with the world out there in a real, deep and meaningful way. I don't know how your week has been as it's unfolded. There's been some things come to us which it feels right to acknowledge. You know, there's been some really atrocious things happen this week in terms of people's behaviour against other people. You look at this time last week in Afghanistan, where there's the execution of that young man by the Taliban. Really atrocious method of execution, if you caught it, but horrible. On the same day a week ago, Omar Mateen into the nightclub in Orlando, killing 50 people. On the Monday, the day after, in Paris, that 24-year-old policeman stabbed to death outside his home. In Paris. The day after, on Tuesday, 52 fishermen killed by militants in the Cameroon. This terrorist activity, really. And then on Thursday, when Jo Cox, the MP, was shot and stabbed in Yorkshire. And what she was doing, you know, being there, she was going to the library to have her surgery, to be available to her constituents, to do what a good thing. And a friend of Jo Cox's, Peter Kyle, an MP, this is what he said, really interesting reflection. He said this: in general, something just feels wrong in the world around us right now. There's so much hate and unfocused anger around us. Because of it, people, families and communities are suffering. That's what he said. He's just recognizing, it just feels that there's something wrong in the world around us right now. And as Christians, we can say, yes, that's right. But it's not the end of the story. I think it was Mike McCrum used to say, I've read the ending and I know how it ends. And we win. You know, God has come, he's sent Jesus, he's done something, he's got the name above all names to be able to make this world a better place. And we say, well, what do we do to make it better? We get into the life flow of God. We discover the heartbeat of the universe. And as we're in the life of God and he's in us, as we're in that relationship, as the wounds are healed, as the freedom comes to relate to God as our Father in heaven, we see that we can make a difference. We pray about these things, and we are prepared to even be the answer to our prayers as God calls us to act as well as to pray. And you know, what I find encouraging in all of that, sort of, you know, it's bad news, and that we need to acknowledge that that's been going on. And yet even in it, there's a recognition by so many people that it's wrong, that this isn't right. There's so many people who have spoken out on these things and said, this isn't the way the world should be. And when so many people are looking and saying, well, this isn't the way the world should be, what do we do? How do we change it? Where do we go? There's a lot of people looking for answers. And we say, look, let's get in the life flow of God, where the love is, where the justice is, where the hope is. And so, God's kingdom on earth as in heaven. And we're going to need daily bread. We're going to need God's provision. Sometimes it's going to be impoverishing to follow the call of God and to see his kingdom come. And all we'll have is our daily bread. But let's pray for at least that. God, provide for us on this journey. Whatever our need is, provide for it so that we can be sustained to do this. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. And again, this is just about the grace of God underpinning this. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to mess up. We're not going to get it right. But the grace of God is going to carry us, and we're going to be gracious people as well as we minister to others. And we're going to face opposition in this. There'll be temptations. You know, this is the flesh coming at us and saying, oh, this is a nicer way. You know, don't go this way of the cross. Go over here. This is a lovely thing. Things attracting us, luring us away, distracting us from the core mission of getting in and getting our hands dirty, as it were, in the world, making it better. There's going to be things that will tempt us away. And the evil one will seek as well. There's the spiritual opposition that's very real. But let's go on to the next verse. Do we go on? Or does it stop there? Okay. What we love is how our Lord's Prayer ends. Kingdom, power, the glory are yours forever. Our Father is a God who is above all things. He can heal the wounds from the past, whatever may have been spoken over us. He's a God who is able to... Okay, I think it must be in Luke then when we get that power and the glory. No, it's not there either. It's in a footnote. Oh, I see. It's in some versions, some of the ancient Greek versions, but we don't get it in all of our translations. Well, it's a good way to sum it up all the same, don't you think? I think we need that bit there because it reminds us that actually it may be a hard road, but it's good. It's worthwhile. It's an adventure worth having. Pray. We talk, God listens. And as we listen, God talks in all kinds of different ways. And sometimes he can appear quite distant and silent. That's okay too. But in his own way, through his people, as we give ourselves to reading the Bible, he'll speak to us as well. And what do we talk about? Anything and everything. When do we talk? All the time. It's a moment by moment relationship affected by everything we engage in moment by moment. And as prayer becomes our life, our whole life becomes a prayer. Pray without ceasing, Paul said, all the time. Have this open conversation every waking moment. And we're going to need chunks of time to feed that relationship where we can be specific in conversation and important to just be honest with God about all these things. And so we have the prayer week coming. 3 weeks today we start a week of prayer. 24 hours a day for 7 days. Sign up, try a slot. Try a slot if you're not sure about it. Try a slot earlier in the week. Give it a go. See what happens. There'll be some prayer resources in Harvest House. Just going along, just shutting the door, you and God in the prayer closet, and just see what happens. You'll find an hour goes quite quickly, I think. And you might find you want to sign up for more weeks later in the week. More slots. but it's just an opportunity. We're just trying to create this space to say, let's get in with God, because it matters. Let's live this. And you live it. And if you're struggling to live it, well, pursue it with all you've got, because it's worth it. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you that you are such a good and gracious God. And Lord, if there's anything in getting in the way of, for each of us in our relationship with you, maybe things we've carried for a long time, we pray that you'd just help us to identify those things, deal with those things, and connect with you in a fresh way today. Lord, we know, we're sure, that the centre of this universe, there's a heartbeat of love and relationship that we long to just be in. Whatever else is happening, help us to be in you as you live in us. Help us to be those who pray and act in this world to bring heaven to earth. We pray in Jesus' name.